It would be negligent of me, after having made a video about praying to the saints, not to address the elephant in the room on this subject. Sacramentals, statues, icons, relics, holy images, and their use in Catholicism. Is it idol worship? Of course, the Protestants say yes. They offer the second commandment in their version of the Ten Commandments as proof. Exodus 20, verse 4. You shall not make for yourself a graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. And to be fair, the idea of a Catholic bowing down before a statue of Mary in prayer is, well, it's understandable they would think that. But here's the interesting thing about the Old Testament, and this goes for every Christian denomination. When something in the Old Testament verifies your doctrine, it's quoted as authoritative. But when it doesn't verify or even contradicts the doctrine, they say, well, that's the Old Testament. That was changed with Jesus. So I could rest my argument on this and say, well, that's the Old Testament. That was changed with Jesus. I could point out that we've been released from the law, and not just the ceremonial law, but the rigidity of the moral law as well, though not the spirit of the law. I could point out that Paul explains this in Romans 7, verse 2. Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning the husband. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, and if she marries another man, is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death, but now we were discharged from the law. Since we died with Christ through baptism, we have been released from the law. Notice adultery, one of the Ten Commandments, is given as an example of the law we have been released from. Not to mention, one of the commandments says, keep the Sabbath holy. Well, that's Saturday, not Sunday, technically. It was moved from Saturday to Sunday by the Catholic Church. Yet virtually all Christians worship on Sunday, and no one says, hey, you're breaking the Ten Commandments, except for the Adventist, of course. Also, Paul says in several places in the Bible that if you hold to one aspect of the law, you are bound to obey the whole thing. So if Protestants point their finger at us for breaking the Second Commandment, yet they worship on Sunday, they're going to be held accountable for not worshiping on Saturday. But if being released from the law means that we can now worship on Sunday instead of Saturday, because the spirit of the law is keep the Lord's Day holy, well, that will also go for the rigid prohibition against statues, icons, and holy images. So as long as the person is not actually worshiping the image, they are not guilty of breaking the law and idolatry. I could point out that the early Christians venerated the relics of the apostles, Acts 19, verse 11, and God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were carried away from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. So that third-class relic from a saint that is used for healing? Yeah, that's biblical. And the Old Testament talks about holy water, Numbers 5:17. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle, and put it into the water. And they even had some sort of crucifixes in the apostolic church, Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, either everyone in the Galatian church was present at the crucifixion of Jesus, or they were shown some sort of image of Jesus crucified. I could point all this out, but I don't have to. There's a reason that what Protestants consider to be the first and second commandment, the Catholic Church considers to just be the first commandment. Thou shalt have no gods before me, and thou shalt make no graven images. The spirit of the law, which we are still bound to, is written in our hearts. Love the Lord our God with all your heart. It's not about whether you use icons in prayer, it's about what's in your heart that matters. After all, God commanded the making of two statues when building the Ark of the Covenant, Exodus 25:18. And you shall make two cherubim of gold, of hammered work shall you make them, on the two ends of the mercy seat. When the Israelites were plagued with snakes in the desert, God commanded Moses to make a bronze serpent, Numbers 21:8. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. But when the Israelites started worshiping the bronze serpent, he ordered it to be destroyed. Why would God prohibit graven images, then turn around and order them to be made and used? Because even the original prohibition against engraven images was not a strict prohibition of their use, but rather a prohibition against making an engraven image and saying, "This is our God," and worshiping it. God explains the prohibition against engraven images in Deuteronomy 4:15. "Therefore, take heed to yourselves, since you saw no form on that day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Beware lest you act corruptly by making a graven image for yourself in the form of any figure, the likeness of a male or female, the likeness of any beast on this earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water or under the earth. However, now we do have an image of God, Jesus, and it is fitting to make images of Jesus, who is God." Protestants who are familiar with the Church Fathers will point out that the use of images in the church did not become widespread until the Gentiles started converting, and that we don't really have quotes from the early church fathers until about the 4th century. And this is true, but this could be for several reasons. One, they were expensive and the church was poor until the Roman conversion. Two, the Jews weren't accustomed to the use of sacred images and the Gentiles were. And three, Christians were in hiding until Constantine, and the use of Christian sacred images could be deadly. However, we do have plenty of quotes in the early church centuries concerning the use of saintly relics. The Martyrdom of St. Ignatius of Antioch, written around 117 AD, "For only the harder portions of his holy remains were left, which were conveyed to Antioch and wrapped in linen, as an inestimable treasure left to the Holy Church by the grace which was in the martyr." And the Martyrdom of Polycarp, written around 155 AD, "Accordingly, we afterwards took up his bones as being more precious than the most exquisite jewels, and more purified than gold, and deposited them in a fitting place, whither, being gathered together as opportunity is allowed us, with joy and rejoicing, the Lord shall grant us to celebrate the anniversary of his martyrdom, both in memory of those who have already finished their course, and for the exercise and preparation of those yet to walk in their steps." And of course, I could quote many more. Throughout most of Christianity, the vast majority of the population was illiterate, so holy images, statues, paintings, and so forth were used as visual and living gospels to show the story of salvation. You know, like nativity scenes during Christmas that Protestants curiously have no problem with, even though they are doing exactly what they condemned us Catholics for doing just once a year. The dogmatic and infallible teaching on sacred images from the Catholic Church comes from the Second Council of Nicaea in 787 AD, following the iconoclast heresy, where the Byzantine emperor imposed a strict ban on holy images, which he tried to impose on the West. The council determined concerning images of Jesus, Our Lady, the angels, and saints, quote, "Therefore it is proper to accord to them a fervent and reverent veneration, not, however, the venerable adoration which, according to our faith, belongs to the divine being alone." Well, there you have it. The church allows the veneration of sacred images, but forbids their worship. Until my next video, God bless.